Today's reading is taken from the New Revised Standard Version, Psalm 34, 18 to 22. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
We have just heard the last part of Psalm chapter 34. I invite you, when you have some time and you get home, to read from the start. It is one that will bless your heart. The message today is called, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." And that is really what I believe the Lord wants us to hear and to receive today. As I was preparing, I was reminded an old saying. Some say it was said by Moody, one of the old-time preachers, and some say it was before. But he said, "The gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread." So if you will permit me today, I am coming to share where I found bread, and I invite you as well to partake of it. When we talk about the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, I believe it's one of those nights where if we allow the Holy Spirit into the closed spaces of our hearts, he will gently, carefully, tenderly peel off the plasters that we have placed on our brokenness. And if we allow him, he will not just put another plaster, but he will actually clean it, and he will cleanse it, and he will bring a healing. Does anybody want that tonight? Many are the times in faith, in our Christianity, that we emphasize, and nothing wrong with it, about the healing power of Jesus. And we think of our physical ailments. We've just talked about prostate health, and we will be contending for God to bring healing to those who have prostate cancer and other sicknesses and illnesses on Friday night. But what about the heart? Because he is near to the brokenhearted. He's not just near to watch our heart broken and then do nothing. The Lord is merciful, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is kind, and he does more than we could ask if we could only believe and trust him and allow him near. One of the other things that came to my mind as I was thinking of tonight's message was Adam and Eve. If you have heard or read the story of Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve are told, don't do this, they do this. And as a result, they realize their nakedness. And what do? They go and they pluck some leaves and they try to cover their nakedness. Now, the brokenheartedness is not about we did wrong or we did sin. Don't hear that. But there is an element of how we try to cover it up. Instead of turning to the God who made us and say, God, help me. I'm hurting. I'm wounded. I'm broken. Help. And so peeling off the plaster is like Adam and Eve experiencing the loving kindness of Father, who said, those figs are not really covering you much. Let me help you there. And so I wonder if for a moment we can bow our heads. And if you are willing, invite the Lord who is near. He's already there. He's already in our brokenness. Invite him right there. Name the brokenness. Name where you and I know we have put figs. We've not really sorted the situation out. And invite him. He is merciful. He is kind. He is caring. Holy Spirit, would you have your way in this service tonight? The Lord who is near to the brokenhearted, here we are. Bring healing, bring wholeness, bring cleansing, bring restoration. Unburden us and let us leave transformed by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Many, many years ago, over 5 years, but I can't remember exactly how long ago, I visited Kensington Temple, and I heard about an event that they used to have called Living Free. And it used to be that we would go to another building called Summit House, and we would just go through different areas and elements of God's healing, God's power, God's cleansing. In this Living Free, one of the ladies who was leading had a vision. And in the vision, she saw a castle. And this castle was grand, majestic, whether you can imagine Windsor Castle or anything like that. And she walked through it in her vision, and she got inside. And there were different chambers, as castles have. Even Tower of London has it. But what she began to notice was in the chambers were people. And those chambers were actually prisons, and they were locked. And she kept walking, and she was looking, and then she realized she was seeing. The person who owned that castle was also not able to get out of the castle. So not only were there people who were in chambers, but the person who owned it was also in a chamber, in a prison of sorts, despite it being a castle. And in that message, there was an invitation to let people go. There was an invitation to forgive. The message that came through was actually, when we don't forgive, we tend to be putting people in chambers. We're like, you're staying there, you're not getting out. And you're staying there, you're not getting out. Why do we do that? We do that because we're hurting. We do that because we don't want to be hurt again. And so we put the person who hurt us here and the other person who hurt us here. And if you would be honest tonight, some of us have chambers that are a bit crowded. And we need to let people go. But more than that, the person themselves becomes a prisoner. Because in the attempt to avoid not being hurt again, we close ourselves off from healing. Because the door that allows the healer is the same door that allows love and potentially hurt. But who will we trust to protect us? Who will we trust to guard us? I believe that's one of the places that David, who wrote the Psalms, is in when he's writing Psalm 34. It refers us back to a time in David's life, King David, where, a quick recap, he was a shepherd boy, and he was minding his business, looking after his father's sheep. A prophet comes and says, "You will be king," anoints him. In those days, the word of the prophet was as good as the word of God. It was going to be. David, fast forward, ends up serving in the king's palace. And there he plays to soothe the king. And if you've ever heard the story, he slays the giant Goliath from Gath. He's a hero. Of course he's going to be king in moments, right? Wrong. For the next 10 years to 15 years, he's fleeing for his life because the current king, King Saul, wants to kill him, wants to end his life. And when we read David saying, "The Lord is my refuge," or "The Lord is my fortress," he is saying, "I know what it's like to have been in a fortress under the king's palace and protection and guards. And I also know what it's like for God to be the one protecting me, because there is no other protection I have when I am out in the wilderness. On one of the occasions, David decides, I don't know why. David decides, you know Goliath, who he killed? He decides to go to the town that Goliath was from, hoping to work for the king there. You've never read that. Let's read that together. 1 Samuel chapter 21, very short verses. It says, David rose and fled that day from Saul. He went to King Achish of Gath. The servant of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. They've recognized him. They've realized, you are the one who killed our hero. And you're here trying to get a job for the king? What you talking about? David has been sussed out. Would you be scared if you were David? Absolutely. He is scared, because this is not some fancy conversation. These are kings and armies and life and death. And we read in verse 12, David took these words to heart, and he was very much afraid. He was afraid of King Achish of Gath, so he changed his behavior before them. David pretended to be mad when in the presence of the king. He scratched marks on the door of the gate and let his spit run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And they kicked David out. David escapes. David is afraid, very afraid. David is hurting. The king in his own country is trying to kill him. Most likely his mother and father are not able to protect him, not against a king. Most likely many of his friends have had to put arm's length with him, because if you're a friend of David at that time, you are probably going to go down with him. David is afraid. He's probably ashamed. Think about it. If for a second you fall asleep and you have a little bit of dribble that comes off, and then you wake up, do you not feel embarrassed? Okay. David does that on purpose. It's embarrassing. He does feel embarrassed. He feels ashamed. It's not making sense. And that is often what we find when we're in the place of being brokenhearted. It's not making sense. God has said one thing. Life looks like it's presenting another thing. It doesn't make sense. We've tried our all. David tried his best. That was his last attempt at that moment. He had reached the end of the list of things to do to try and stay alive. But this is what David does, and that's what we read in Psalm 34. When God saves him in the midst of his brokenness, the first thing he does is to bless the Lord. He says in 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's hurting, he's broken, he's lost, he's desperate, he's reached the end. I will bless the Lord at all times. His weird trick of playing mad has actually worked and the king has let him go. But he doesn't say in Psalm 34, look what I did. I was so clever, I managed. Mm-mm. He knows that it's God who has saved him again and again. Many of us know it's God, but for the grace of God we stand. If it wasn't for him, we would not be here today. David goes on to express his desperation. My soul makes its boast in the Lord, let the humble say it. I sought the Lord, verse 4, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I think sometimes in church we feel embarrassed to confess that we're fearful. If you're a person of faith, how can you be fearful? Fear comes out of the place of pain. Fear comes out of the place of desperation. We can confess that we are fearful as long as we don't stop there. We turn to the Lord. And so tonight you might find that I am fearful. You might find that I have reached my desperation. I have reached the end. I'm inviting you to turn your eyes to the Lord, because the Lord cares and the Lord watches over those who call on him. David goes on to say in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him." The castle that I talked about at the start, we try to build it, and the truth is we're trying to protect ourselves. Well, if I'm trying to protect myself, what's God doing? Have I taken his place? Because if I say that the Lord is my refuge, I'm saying, I need you to protect my heart. I need you to protect my life. I can't do it by myself. And when we begin to see that God is able, the one who rescued David, if you read 10, 15 years of fleeing for your life, and eventually he does become king, as the prophet said, as God said, and he does great wonders as God did through him. But first, let us look at this castle, because God is inviting us and saying, you can trust me. I can take care of you. Will you let me in today? Taste and see that the Lord is good means that you might have heard about it, you might have seen it from afar, but if you want to experience the power of the God who is near to the brokenhearted, you've got to step into the space of tasting, experiencing that he is good. How do we do that? David said, I sought the Lord. In another space, he said, I cried out to the Lord. Right where you are, you can begin to cry out in your heart to the Lord and say, I came in here carrying this, and I don't want to go the same way again. That story of the castle, those 5-7 years ago, spoke to me. At the time of hearing it, I was like, that's a good story. Someone somewhere needs to hear it. But actually, the Lord was speaking to me. Because when I had been hurt by 1 and 2 and 3, as life does, I had decided, you won't hurt me again, go in that chamber. You won't hurt me again, go in that chamber. And then I had gone to a retreat. And I had lifted my hands and I was like, God, you can come in. Nobody else can come in, but you can come in. And the Lord was saying to me, I'd love to come in, but your door is shut. Won't you let me in? And shall I tell you the truth? I wrestled with God that day. Because I was like, but I don't want you to come in and talk about the chamber. I don't want you to come in and touch the pain. Can you come in and just stay on this side? But he is merciful, and he is kind, and he is gentle. So when I did vocalize my fear, because my fear was he will come in and he will require that I forgive, and I don't have the strength to forgive, he said, let me in and let my power work through you. Let me in. And I will heal your pain. Let me in, and I will be your protector. Will you let God in today? Just in the service we had before this, the 4 p.m. service, Ben was talking about Jesus, the light. And he said this statement, don't be afraid of the light. We're afraid of what will happen when Jesus comes in. When he comes in as the light and he shines the light and we're like, oh, that's a lot going on there. We're afraid, will his judgment come upon us? Because actually, when the light comes in, we don't just see our brokenness. We also see the brokenness we cause to others. But I invite you this evening, don't be afraid. The one who sets the captives free desires that we are free today. I invite us to look at one more scripture before we take some time to pray. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus stands up and he takes the scroll from the book of Isaiah. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Remember I said from the start, one beggar saying to another beggar where to find bread. He brings the good news to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and the oppressed." When we find that reading, and I'm just going to read it for us, in Isaiah 61, there's a version that says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners." I believe the Lord wants to heal hearts tonight. He wants to cleanse us from pains that are getting in the way of everything else. The annoying thing about pain is it doesn't stay in its place. We might have pain because of marriage, but then it affects the children and it affects work and it affects our social life. We might have pain about work and then it follows us home at the end of the day. Does anybody recognize that? A broken heart doesn't seem to know its boundaries, because out of the heart flows the issues of life, everything else about life. So when Jesus came into this world, he came to heal our physical bodies, yes. He came to heal our minds, yes. He came to heal our broken hearts. And when he heals our broken hearts, he also sets us free. Because what we do is we open the door. And when we let him in, we are also able to walk out. Praise God. Mm-hmm.